HSN Live with Dave and Ken, right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM, streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKV app for Android and Apple users. Tonight's program is made possible in part by Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSIP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Clark Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protex Security & Fire Systems, and Apex Network Physical Therapy. Let's join Ken and Dave for PCSN Live from the Stanton Studio.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live here on WSKV 104.9 FM. This is David Falder along with Ken Simon, and I hope everything is going well on the radio side, because I finally got in for this first break and it's the computer's acting a little slow.
Oh, well, that's the last thing we need.
Yeah, so if you're not hearing us or something, somebody give us a shout out, let me know that that we are on the air. I'm thinking we are, so we'll go right on. We do expect the guests to come in here in the studio a little bit later on. Expect new head girls basketball coach Rob Marion to be in studio with us tonight, and we'll have him on here in a few minutes, or whenever he gets here, I guess. But until then, we'll just go ahead and start out with our normal COVID updates.
So as normal, we go back to the end of the week last week under those circumstances. And so when you go back to last Wednesday, there were 52 active case counts. That was kind of a low number for us in many respects as far as where we had been for a while. And then you go back to last Thursday, it was at 59 active cases. On Friday, 53. So that week ended up basically kind of staying about the same, you know, as far as the new cases and then the ones that were coming out of isolation. This week, on Monday, we had 17 new cases. 13 were released from isolation, so that made the active count of 57 on Monday. Yesterday, jumped up quite a bit. 15 new cases, only 3 were released. That brought the total to 69 active cases. And then today, 21 new cases, 8 were released, so that brings the number to 82 active cases. The total case count in Powell County, 2,667. Again, David, when you look at that, we've increased by 30 roughly since a week ago. We kind of had a steady decline in a sense, but now we've gone right back up again. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe we're right back in the red.
Well, I mean, I think I heard this somewhere last week. I'm not real sure if it's correct or not, but somebody was telling me that we were number one in the state as far as the numbers, I guess the percentages for Powell County. So I'm not sure about if we're the reddest county in the state right now, but you would think at 82%, we're fairly high. I think we're up there probably in the top several counties of cases. But again, it is not something I think that is going to slow down. Again, boosters are out there. Again, I got a couple family members now with COVID. So I totally get it. And they have been vaccinated. One had quite a few symptoms inside, and the other one is really pretty sick right now. So we'll have to kind of see where it goes from that. But going forward, again, the vaccine is working, hopefully. And hopefully none of the body that I'm talking about is at least going to wind up in the hospital or anything like that. But again, it's supposed to be better than if you weren't vaccinated at all. So that's the positive side. So the folks out there, their vaccines are still available. If you want to get one, please do so. Boosters are going to be available for a lot of us here in the next upcoming couple of weeks.
And, you know, when you look at the, I was looking for the count on the positivity rate. There we go. Positivity rate, 5.37%.
Statewide?
Statewide, yes. The case count today in Kentucky, they have 4,000, well, that's the positive test, 4,446. is the current positivity rate of 5.37%.
So we had 4,000 new cases?
It shows
4,400, almost 4,500 new cases today?
That's what it's showing, yeah.
So we
current positivity rate, positive PCRs, 4,446, total PCRs collectively over 82,000 for a positivity rate of 5.37%.
All right, so it looks like our state numbers are back up. On as far as the numbers of cases, yes, positivity rate is relatively low, but the number of case count is actually fairly high.
Yeah, and the group that's as far as age distribution, at this point, you have, well, I'm looking here. It's throwing me off on this. For some reason, it looks like they've redone their distribution here as far as like the way that it's set up. But anyway, I was looking at the breakdown of cases. Again, the highest percentage so far is really in that 20, well, actually from 10 years old all the way up to 59, over 100,000 collectively in each one of those age distributions.
Yeah, and I think you're seeing a higher count in the youth now, but just because that they are still the only group that hasn't been a large percentage, at least vaccinated at this point. So there are vaccines going to be available, I think, for the students here in Powell County here in the next few days, I believe.
I think starting Friday, if I'm not mistaken.
So again, hope folks take advantage of that, and maybe we won't go, when we talk to sports seasons, well, when we continue our sports seasons, maybe there won't be as many kids that have to quarantine and cost us having to lose games and that kind of stuff.
Now, you know, they've said this for a long time. Once winter rolls around,
it's going to get worse, right?
It's going to get worse. Yeah. Obviously, our temperature's kind of been hectic here lately.
Well, today, you know, 73 and nice. Beautiful.
Yeah, the last couple of days have really been beautiful, but then, you know, you go back to last week and, you know, we had low temperatures, you know, where it was frost.
I think this is the last day. Possible snow Saturday. I believe I've already seen that somewhere. So, but again, if you're looking at current trends as far as internationally, Europe right now is really getting hammered with COVID. There is another new variant, which is I think a variant of the Delta variant. It's a subvariant of Delta, and it is far more contagious than Delta was. So I think that's the variant now that is out there in Europe, and obviously the travel ban has been lifted a couple of days ago. So if that's a subvariant there, it's going to be here soon because the travel ban has been lifted.
Again, it goes back to we have to do what we need to do in order to.
And it's what we don't like to do.
Exactly. You know, going back to, you know, wearing the mask, washing your hands, sanitize, all of that kind of stuff. Because the last thing that we want at this point, with basketball season right around the corner, starting at the high school level, the last thing we want is the gyms not being able to be full, people not be able to come out and watch them live unless it's the small groups where all of a sudden you're going back to giving the tickets and things along that line.
But you and I have watched this, though, all season long with football, with volleyball, with soccer. The numbers that we were seeing at games were the numbers we saw pre-COVID.
Correct.
I don't think there's many changes. And I think people have actually said, okay, look, if I get sick, I get sick. They're going to be in seats. I really believe this is about as normal as it's going to be for a while. However, I do think we're in for another surge here in the winter.
I would agree with that. And I think the fact that now the vaccine is available at the younger age group, let's see how that affects things going forward. Because I know there's a lot of kids anymore that, you know, seem to be affected more, even to some extent more so even than the adults.
Well, there's a lot of underlying heart issues that are lasting longer. So those are the problems that the kids are usually seeing. So hopefully we'll get that all wiped out in a bit. But again, we've got Coach Rob Marion. We'll have him on the air right after the break here on WSKV and PCSN Live.
Protect Security and Fire Systems. Your security is our business. Visit the Powell County Sports Network page at WSKVFM.com.
With Whitaker Bank's new home equity line of credit, qualified applicants can borrow up to 90% of their home's value with no closing costs. With Whitaker Bank's home equity line of credit, you only pay back 1% of your balance monthly, and you process your withdrawals with Whitaker Electronic Banking. Stop by Whitaker Bank and see how our new home equity line of credit can help you. Whitaker Bank proudly supports your Powell County Pirates. Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, member FDIC, and an equal housing lender.
Community, what does the word mean to you? Here at Citizens Guaranty Bank, community means everything. It's why we do what we do. As our community grows, we are here to be your helping hand, putting your dreams to work. Our community has very exciting opportunities and challenges. Let us help you build your future and meet the future needs of our community. My name is James Clark, the Powell County Market President here at Citizens Guaranty Bank. At Citizens, we are your hometown bank, and we are here for you because we are you.
Stop by any of our convenient locations in Stanton, Irvin, Berea, Richmond, and London. My money, my bank, my CGB.
Citizens Guaranty Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Qualifications and rules may apply. See institution for details.
Toyota South in Richmond is moving forward. Family owned and operated since 1915. Meet General Manager Charlie Johnson.
I was raised right here in Powell County by my grandparents. They taught me to be honest and treat others with courtesy and respect. And that's what you can expect from me. I would like to personally invite you to take the short drive to Toyota South in Richmond. Whether you're looking for a new or used vehicle, as General Manager at Toyota South, I will make your short drive well worth your time. Come see me soon at Toyota South in Richmond.
Toyota South in Richmond. Online at toyotasouth.com or call their friendly staff at 877-605-4326.
New driveway, parking lot, or large aggregate need? Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in all things crushed aggregate. They provide expert delivery and more, depending on size of application. Call Natural Bridgestone today at 606-663-2815 or Tipton Ridge Quarry at 606-723-4881 or find out more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live. This is Dave Faulkner along with Ken Simon. We're joined now by the new head girls basketball coach, Rob Marion. He was a several-year assistant to Coach Ken Jones. So this is basically going to be our introduction to Rob as the new head basketball coach, and then we'll get into what he expects in the upcoming season here in a minute.
So let's go back in time and let everybody know, in a sense, what was your thought process as far as even applying to be the head coach? Once you realized that, you know, Coach Ken Jones had retired and kind of stepped aside, what was your process in going into that to accept the position?
I originally didn't have a thought process. Well, I was essentially retiring myself, and then Coach Jones kind of had to do his retirement, and it got late in the summer. The kids start talking. I start wondering, hey, what can I do with this here? And that's kind of where it started.
As far as the interview process, how did that go in a sense? Did you feel comfortable and confident that it was going to be yours after that? Or were you still kind of thinking, is this even the direction I even want to go in even at that point?
Well, there was a couple of good candidates and a couple of guys that's helped me in the past in middle school. And but I was pretty confident in that. I've been around the program. I've been around these kids. I've had this senior class since they were in seventh grade all the way up. And I've been pulling double duty with middle school and high school, so two seasons every year. We did AAU a couple times, so I was confident in the fact that that's kind of where the kids wanted the direction to go to.
And I know this is a good group, and you talk about coming up. Now you're no longer with the middle school, as far as the head coach there.
Correct.
So I'm sure are you still working with the middle school program and keeping them going, so where they can still come up and help you guys out later on the season?
Was Stephen Donathan, it's really hard to pull that double duty because it's just exhausting.
Yeah.
And Stephen and Rana and Jake Banks, I've been meaning to get a hold of Stephen to come on over, and Rana and Jake they're all welcome because the more the merrier. But this kind of happened late, and it was something that basically I threw together, we threw together, so we hadn't been able to get on the same page this year. But Coach Donathan and Coach Banks have helped helped with the middle school the last 2 or 3 years, so they're kind of on the same page of what we're trying to do. And then Ron has always been a huge help to anything ever we ever need. So
I totally understand it. It does take the whole county seems like to operate this program, and that's what it needs to take anyway to build it. How is the feeder program going now? As far as we really didn't have one last year to speak of, as far as Little League or whatever it would be. So what do you see going forward this year? Has one started, or will there be one, or how's that going?
That's a good question. I assume we will start one. I don't think it's been started yet. Okay. I've been so busy with this here, and between that and work, it's kind of. But I have been in contact with Glenna over in the summer, and she's willing to do anything needed.
Well, I know it's just always for overall in athletics here, it seems like our feeder program is probably the one that's probably the weakest.
Yeah.
For our kids as they come up. You saw that in middle school. Mm-hmm. You guys are a lot of times at the middle school level starting from scratch.
Yeah.
And we're getting behind the eight ball because of that and against our opponents.
Well, it's about getting kids involved.
Yeah.
The numbers aren't where they need to be, and that's what we have to work on, really. And what I would like to do is send some of the seniors to some of these elementary schools, invite some of these kids out to high school games and kind of get that involved, because if you have somebody to look up to and hey, she plays, I want to be like her, maybe we can get that going there. But we need to get the numbers up. Yeah. I know Coach Donathan and both Coach Donathan's and Coach Banks had a hard time with their sixth grade trying to get enough kids, I think, this year, and had to bring up even a fifth grader or two.
Yeah, it seems like since COVID hit, our kids have kind of lost interest in athletics. And I don't know if it's just a common theme or that you've seen or just something that's local, but I know we're struggling here. I know Wolf County's had a little bit of a struggle with getting numbers out. So it's not just here, it's other places as well.
Yep. Just attendance at college games and things of that nature. You know, unless you're Alabama football or Georgia football, some of these numbers aren't there even for attendance.
Yeah.
And at that point, kids find other ways to take up their time and therefore lose that interest because something else has piqued their interest. So far, obviously, you've not had any games or anything, but what's been the transition for you, if any, going from the assistant coach to the head coach as far as the way that you conduct practices, et cetera? How's that transition been?
I kind of kept things going during the summer, me and Coach C. We didn't know what was going to happen with Coach Jones, if he was going to retire or not, so we just kind of kept it going. We didn't get in a whole lot of games as far as other places. We did join a league and played against a schedule of boys, which really helped us once we got our, you know, kind of got it down. As far as practices, obviously October 15th we started. We haven't had a bad practice. A lot of coaches can't say that. We had a segment of about 15 minutes and I brought the seniors in and said, hey, and that's the only bad spot of practice we've had. So every practice, I just left a practice where there was hooping and hollering and 3 days till game day, and it's exciting, and it gets me ready to go. You know, I got to where it was tough coming to practice every day last year. You know, I don't work in the school system, so getting here was – but I tell you, these kids I enjoy the game again.
It's when you're in the gym now, if you're like the kids, they've been practicing for almost 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't played anybody different, really. They can't wait till that first scrimmage,
right,
or even the red-white night. I know they're really excited about red-white night. So you have a scrimmage coming up prior to red-white?
Yep, we have a scrimmage over at Estill County. We play Brewery on Saturday. We have JV and varsity.
And is it a three-hour? Is it one of those three-hour scrimmages?
No, it's a panorama. We'll play for an hour. Both teams will play for an hour, and then that'd be it.
Is that a running clock?
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
I'd say so.
As far as the team that you have, compared to last year to this year, any changes, any additions or anything that we should be aware of?
Well, we lost somebody that was very special in the program. Macy Howell had been here for years and years, years and years. Yeah. You know, she ended up with 1,800 points, and she would have had over 2,000. Obviously, that hurts. But what most people don't know is we have Kenna and Kaylin Neal. They're big and strong. They've committed themselves this summer to getting better, to getting faster, to getting in better shape. And I think that's really going to open some eyes and up east in this region.
Now, I know you got arguably one of the better point guards, in my opinion, in the region, Makaira Cottle, only a sophomore this year.
Sophomore, right? Yep.
And then you have Kansas Stevens, Presley Hall, your two other two seniors, correct?
Yes. Yes, Makaira has the opportunity to be a special player. And what I find myself a lot of times forgetting that she's just a sophomore because she's been starting at point guard since eighth grade. So sometimes I have to reel back some things because she's still learning. But in my opinion, she's top five in the region right now.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. But I agree with what I do agree with is this is her third year as a starter. It's time that she does start understanding what she may be doing wrong, because at this point she's one of your team leaders and she's just a sophomore.
Yeah, yeah, she's our leading returning scorer. So she was about 15 and a half. We have opened up our offense a little bit, or we will open up our offense a little bit to let her work some more. The game changed 5 or 6 years ago with Steph Curry, James Harden, and we go up east and play Knott County and they hit 10 threes and we hit one. We got to figure it out, right?
Yeah.
So we put a premium on, and I didn't even care about playing games this summer. We put a premium on shooting. Makaira's shooting has really improved. Presley Hall has now, she's got the green light when she comes in the building.
Yep.
And what you're going to do at some point during a game, you're going to say, why is she shooting that? Blame me. Don't blame her.
Now listen, no, we sit in the booth a lot, and I know your style as well. When you coach a JV, we could see you kind of did what I was trying to do a little bit too. Open it up, play a lot of four out, one in.
Yep.
Because there's not a lot of posts here at Powell County.
No.
We just don't have a lot of those kids. And usually we had a post player. The JV didn't have them because they was always playing varsity. So when you were, JV or freshman ball, you had all the little guys. Mm-hmm. So you pretty much had to just run and shoot and press and those kinds of things and fun basketball for the kids. And, I think Coach Jones did the double O post and for years. And, sometimes it's hard to do. I know last year played Chloe Grader as a low post. And she's 5'2", but a gamer, good rebounder, plays really good defense, she's way out of position.
She's 5'4". Sorry, Chloe.
She's 5'4"? Sorry, Chloe. Hope you grew 2 inches for me.
No, to your point, that's correct. Generally, the post players will play up and varsity, so you just kind of had to figure it out in JV level.
Yeah.
Just to let you know, Chloe's now our backup point guard, and she's been playing post for 2 years.
Yeah. No, so. I knew she was going to be, and she had already told me, she said, I get to go down and play some JV to work on my post, my point guard stuff. And she was actually excited, and I knew this was coming probably when you all took over, because she has to go relearn.
Yes.
Well, I think Coach Jones actually put her in that spot at the end of the year last year. She was backup point and had been playing post for 2 years.
Yeah.
So it's a different learning progression for Chloe. Now she comes in now as a junior. You got a good mix. You got your four seniors. You got Makaira as a sophomore. Chloe, who are your other?
We've got Carly Rogers. She's a junior. Amelia Trant's a junior. Lori Faulkner is a sophomore. And then we've got a couple freshmen that by the end of the year may help.
Now, I know those three you mentioned there. At the end of the year last year, we were seeing those kids in quite often. Lori was hurt most of the year.
Yes.
But at the end of the season, she was given good minutes. But those three, you've now got a 9-player rotation that you're fairly comfortable with, I think.
I can be. It's up to them.
Right.
It's everything's earned. I don't care who plays. I'll play 9, I'll play 10, I'll play 11 if that's what it takes. At the start of the practice, I laid out what my expectations were, and I said, here's what you have to do to play, and if you don't do that, you're not playing. So if they do it, they'll play.
So be comfortable shooting the ball, I'm sure. Take care of the basketball and play defense and get back on defense when needed, right?
If you don't play defense, you can't play here. I tell them every day.
Yeah, I agree. And I always like this part. I know Coach Jones likes to play the same ones till they were wore out. But I'm not knocking Coach Jones, but there were times where I had to kind of say, you go in because they're winded. And he'd look at me, why's she in? Coach, she was tired. She needed a break. He was into coaching mode, and I know you were doing that a little bit as well, I think, pulling some kids over, going in for so-and-so, and so,
yeah.
Break.
You know, I'm going to miss Coach Jones.
Yeah.
You know, it went not just as a coach. We became good friends. You know, we texting after games and things of that nature. The door is always open for him in practice or games or anything he wants to do. So he's done a lot for this program, a lot for this community.
Oh, we took Ken all the time. I said working with him was a wonderful experience, and I don't think people understand how much work he put into planning pregame, those kinds of things, which are kind of mundane. You just hate to watch. He go watch the same game five times, just pick out one or two different things.
Nobody put in the work.
No,
Ken Jones does.
No, I totally agree with that, and he absolutely loved it, and obviously, I don't think would have stepped down, but was kind of forced to make this decision because of the quote new law. If he listened to me several years ago when I retired, if he would have stuck to his agreement, Rob, he could have still continued coaching if he wanted to. But, you know, 5 years ago, they didn't have that law. And you could continue coach if you wanted to. Yep. So, but now you can't do that. And it's affected a lot of coaches across the state of Kentucky.
Yep. Yep.
How was the adjustment been? Obviously, being the assistant coach and stepping in as the head coach, how was that transition and how were you accepted in a sense by those returning players? Was it an easy transition for everyone?
It was really easy. Essentially, these are my kids. You know, I've had them, Makaira, Lori, and Amelia Cooks in sixth grade, and the rest since seventh and eighth grade. Well, Mia Trent and Carly's and Chloe's in sixth grade. So if I would have said I'm not going to do this, it may have caused some issues with them. But now, that being said, they think I'm better than I am. But we're just going to give it our best shot.
But the big thing about that, I think they would run through a wall for you.
Yes.
And that's all you can ever expect out of the kids. And if they do that, you can be one of the best coaches in the state of Kentucky and might not know much, but the kids are going to be playing hard for you. And that's what people want to see, though.
Well, 70% of it is how hard you play.
Yeah.
It really is. And nobody's going to play harder than these kids. I've got a good staff to help. People that have been with me for a long time. And I'm really excited. We have an opportunity to be good. Now, one thing that's going to hurt us a little bit probably is this COVID year, you know, and use it if you want to. It's fine. I'm not talking bad on it. But the 14th region, you knew as soon as that was announced, everybody's using it.
Well, here's the thing, though, Rob. What I see with COVID is Powell County's restrictions with COVID are tougher than almost everybody's. Estill County is probably right there with us as far as how they deal with COVID. I don't think anywhere else in this whole region deals with it like really Powell and Estill do.
Right. Me either. But we have, you know, the best player in the region's coming back.
Correct.
You know, she for another senior year. That hurts.
What else came back with her, though?
She's got the Smith kid back. And
well, now, she's a good player, the Smith is.
Yeah. And Terry, but they lost a couple.
Well, they had four seniors last year, and then one came back. So. Yeah. Still lost a lot, but Lexi's a really good player.
Yeah, she's the best player in the region, I would say.
And Smith's probably right up there with her as far as top five, I would think, too.
So when you look at the district, how do you see things panning out in a sense? Obviously, each one are going to be tough games in a sense, but how would you kind of rate the teams, if you will, as far as the four in the district?
Our district is probably going to be as tough as it's been in a long time. Ruth has got some kids coming back over to Estill County, Mia Hill. And a couple of other kids back. Then Owsley got Lexi Lynch back. Matt Watterson at Lee County, they struggled a little bit last year, but they had all seventh, eighth graders.
Yeah.
So he's building something there. It takes a while to build it. He does a great job.
He's patient enough to stick it out.
Yes.
Yes, he is. Yeah.
So I'm not going to say anybody's better than us because I don't think that, but it's going to be a dogfight. So Owsley and Estill, Owsley may be at this point a little bit better than Estill. Just at the beginning of the season, but again, Ruth's got some good kids.
She's got better probably depth than Owsley does.
Yes.
Owsley's probably got the better
individual
players.
And that's probably the same as us. Although Makaira can match up with Lexi Lynch.
Well, I mean, I think to me, Makaira's almost more rounded than Lexi because Lexi has one hand that she uses and Makaira could use either hand.
And there's going to be a lot of people that are surprised with the surrounding cast. I'll just leave it at that. The amount of freedom they have on offense now, it just changes the game. We have a different culture in that gym, and it's just It's exciting. They want to be there every day. For instance, on Saturday, they called, hey, can you open the gym today? All right. So we went in, they shot for an hour and a half just because on a Saturday.
Well, that's something they needed to get better at, though, was the shooting part.
Yep. So the supporting cast of Makaira's, they're not really even supporting cast at this point because they're
equals.
They're really going to surprise you, and especially the twins. People know about Presley in Kansas because they started last year, but they've gotten a lot better.
Well, you take the twins, though. When you put a shot up, those two kids, when they go get a rebound, it's like the kid last night for Kentucky. The
Oscar, yeah.
My gosh, when they go get rebounds, it's kind of like Oscar. It's my ball. Yeah. You're not getting it. And those two kids can rebound. I don't think a lot of people really understand that about this group.
No. Typically, East, where they rank these, and Hazard and so forth, they all know about Makaira. They know about Presley. They know about Kansas. They think we lost Macy, so they think we're going to be small. We'll see.
Yeah. No, those two kids can – I don't think you're going to be a post player against either one of those two.
No.
They will not be pushed around by anybody. No. That's a fact. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back more here with Coach Marion here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
When you need insurance, contact Whitaker Insurance Group in Stanton, proud sponsors of the live broadcast of your Powell County Pirates on Pickup Country 104.9 FM.
Appalachian Wireless and Samsung introduced the smartphone that everyone is flipping over, the Z Flip 3. Looking for something that stands out in the crowd amongst regular smartphones? Then the Z Flip 3 is the device for you. On the region's best service, Appalachian Wireless, the Z Flip 3 is an actual flip phone that, when opened, reveals a stunning 6.7-inch touchscreen for the best of both worlds. It's compact, powerful, and the most unique smartphone in the world. Get more information at AppalachianWireless.com. We are you. We are Appalachian Wireless.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, joined by Coach Rob Marion, girls basketball coach here at the Powell County High School. Again, taking over Coach Jones, who I think been here for 20 seasons, I believe. I think that's 2001 till this year. Really has built a really winning culture here at Powell County basketball. So how do you take that? Do you take any pressure going forward with that, or how do you want to look at that?
Well, number one, you can't replace Ken Jones. I mean, he's been here a long time and won a lot of games here. Done a lot for a lot of kids. We just try to build on what he started and try to get to the next level. Make no mistake, we're chasing trophies and chasing banners. I don't hope to win district. That's not my hope. I expect to win district. Now, there's good teams in our district, but our expectations have changed here.
So as far as those expectations, even going back to, you know, what you shared with them as far as like your goals in a sense, you know, at the very beginning of practice, that kind of thing, as far as them buying into it, you think that has something to do with their attitude and everything coming into practices? Because obviously you said, you know, you almost have a good cohesive unit. They're excited. They're yelling and all that kind of stuff during practice. But do you think the fact that you kind of established that early on, saying this is what I'm expecting, not that they didn't know it, but yet this is what I'm expecting to kind of help breed that winning culture?
Well, what we started in the summer, we started doing a lot of fundraising. And they thought it was about the money and about the gear and the uniforms. It was really team bonding. This bunch is close. This is as close as a group that we've had here for a long time. There's no jealousy in who scores. Now, we're still learning what a good shot is because we're trying to build confidence. And girls are different. You got to build them up and make them believe that they can do it. But the team chemistry is just different. And when we started, I asked, what's your goals? Well, we want to win region. Well, here's how you can do it, but you can't do it like that. And this can't be my team.
Yeah.
If this is my team, we're in trouble because I'm not going to score a point. And these seniors, and along with all these kids, Makaira, they're holding people accountable. And it's really it's fun to watch because it you could see it develop, and it developed in the summer when they played in the summer league and we get together for shoot arounds or open gyms or whatever. It's really fun to watch a team come together, and there's no bickering. There's no, because I just won't allow it. I told them there's two things we are not coaching: attitude and effort. I'm not coaching that. You won't play. I don't care who plays.
definitely should never have to coach those two things. No. Again, effort is one that's a lock, yep. you know, but attitude is, it's hurt yourself. You hurt yourself more than anybody can ever think with an attitude. It's bad reflection on the yep. individual and the coach sometimes. Yep. So your attitudes need to go as well. I agree.
And somebody at some point, and I had a parent meeting and I explained all this, and the first time somebody misses a shot and pouts or hangs their head, walk straight over there.
Come on, have a seat.
And I'd rather lose, just so you know. I'd rather lose than watch kids play like that. And it's coming along. You know, girls are really, I found, are really hard on themselves when they miss shots. Not their team. They're just hard on themselves. They take it. I want to play the next play, not the last one.
See, and I've been coaching girls a long time, and I think you're exactly right. I think a lot of people will get the misconception. I want to coach boys. These girls love the game just as much as any of the boys do.
Yes.
And a lot of times they'll play harder. Now, it's a different game. I do get it, girls versus boys. But you're not going to play harder than these kids.
No.
As far as that's concerned. And I think the girls, girls, whatever programs, have always got the short end of anything about respect. But, again, if you've got a good attitude and you're playing hard, people will start to respect that more. Now, if you've got bad attitudes, then it kind of – all the work you're doing is kind of for naught if you're not careful with your
absolutely.
Attitude.
And we put a premium in practice on body language. If your body language is bad, you will not play. And these girls understand this, and they've gotten better. Now, we still – there's going to be some – at some point somebody's going to test me, and they're going to sit. But they're getting there.
Both know it's coming, too.
Yes.
I mean, and the kids know it's coming.
And the parents understand because I said, here's what we've got, you know. And I've got the greatest parents, and I told them the other night, it's going to take all of us. Let's get loud. Let's be obnoxious. You know, I'm not saying throw stuff at referees or anything like that, but let's get loud and get obnoxious because your baby's only here for 3 or 4 years, and it's going to go by real quick.
Yeah. Goes by a lot faster than the baby does.
It does go by really quick. So as far as, like, your leadership, you know, you'd mentioned your seniors and even Makaira along those lines. Let's talk a little bit about Presley Hall and Kansas Stevens as far as what they bring to your team.
Presley kind of does everything. If I need practice notes if I need something texted or anything like that, she's kind of she gathers all the information and sends it out and makes sure everybody understands and knows what's going on. She's the shooter. And she's a better shooter than she was last year, and she was pretty good last year. She just didn't believe it.
But she also got better at driving the ball, too, last year as well. She got more confidence in that.
Kansas is an overall good player. She can shoot it. And what we've told them is if you pass up shots, you're going to see it. That's how that's just how you build them up. But, and again, I've told Presley, if you want to shoot, if you're open and you want to shoot it, I don't care if you're at the P, shoot it.
So Keith won't have to yell at her near as much as you're going to, right?
No. But it's all about building confidence in these kids. Our seniors have been really good leaders so far. They are holding people accountable in practice, which you have to have. And just like I told you, it can't be me all the time. I can't be the one doing that. I can't stop play every time because somebody's not getting back on defense.
Now, who all is helping you currently? I know one of those guys out there right now. But I know he wants his name mentioned more than once tonight.
Yeah, Roger Townsend.
Yeah, that's him.
been a friend of mine, my best friend for years. He's coaching JV. Lindsay Spencer, married to the baseball coach, Frank Spencer, Meredith's girl, obviously. She's been like a daughter of mine for years. She's helping, and she does a great job. And Gracie Hall is helping us as well, and she's been fantastic.
Now, what does Roger bring to the table as far as some of his skill? I know what he's told me in the past. He wants to work on a lot of different drills and skills. So what has Roger really brought to the table for the team?
He's kind of our shot doctor, you know. Now, some of the kids, you know, girls' shots typically don't look as good. So Presley's, she knows this, but Presley's shot's not very
not pretty.
But it goes in, so we don't touch it.
Right.
So Roger works with a lot of the people, a lot of the girls on the shots. He's kind of the—I don't want to say I'm a bad guy, but he's the nice guy a lot of times when I'm not. To kind of pull him in and say, "Oh, it's all right. You know, you can be better. Do this or do that."
But he can definitely do that with his demeanor.
Yes,
because he is comical at times. Yeah. So I'm sure he's the He's definitely the joke teller of the group.
So that's one. That's one thing I've had to learn. You know, I had to, because Ken, Coach Jones wasn't peaches and ice cream all the time. So I had to be that.
Yep.
You got to have a mix there.
Yeah. I know Mr. Combs told me one time a long time ago, this was before Coach Jones even, but he said, I'm the head coach. I want to chew them out. You go give them a hug.
Yeah. That's kind of what you
And really,
do.
It's just, you have to learn that as far as going from assistant to head coach, because I think sometimes I just continue on with the same person. Yeah. And probably you're probably the same person as well, too. But you do have to be a little bit more of the authoritarian as far as when you're the head coach.
And Gracie and Lindsay have really helped in that area.
It's great to also have a girl on the side with the girls program.
Yep, it is.
Yep.
Especially someone that has the experience as well that has played. Yep. And at that point, to give them a perspective, in a sense, to take advantage of their time here. Because obviously, you know, once you graduate and kind of move on, you can't go back in time. So the fact that they've actually, recently played, in a sense, obviously that bodes well. How are you even approached as far as them to even be willing to help you? Do they kind of come up to you and to express that interest?
Well, Lindsay is essentially a second daughter to me, so we kind of talked about this beforehand. Gracie had expressed interest in learning, and not that I can teach anything, but she has expressed interest, and I thought, you know what? I coached her. I know how good she is with the game. I know how good she is with people, and she's just a fantastic young lady, and so I brought her, said, come anytime you want. She's like, can I do it all the time? Like, come on.
She probably has more knowledge than she thinks she has.
She
as
does.
Far as the
Absolutely.
Game is concerned. So I don't know, when she was out there playing with her teams that she played for, she would always be willing to help her teammates and be able to give positive instruction to those guys, and you never knew she even really did anything.
Right.
I mean, she was just Gracie. I mean, if that's a good description, I mean, it's just, she's quiet, got a good demeanor, handles everything well.
And, of course, the dynamic is she's Presley's sister. So
yeah, fun times there. Yeah.
Definitely looking forward to the season getting started and everything. Are there any particular games or anything on the schedule that you've kind of circled outside of the district?
Leslie, second week, the December 4th is a big one for us. We need to show that we can compete. We need to get people's attention up there.
Yeah. No, that's every year.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. It's a.
So they kind of forget about us in Estill because we're so far down. They're going to understand, you know, we're opening up this game. It's going to be fast. It's going to be 100 miles an hour. It's going to be ugly sometimes. But we're going to let players play. If you have fun, this is a game. I mean, really, at the end of the day, this is a high school game. We don't have anybody here probably that's going to play in the WNBA. They need to have fun, and that'll translate to wins.
I think a lot of kids and parents need to understand what you just said, because our kids here, we don't have a lot of D1 talent.
No.
And even when you go to the next level, definitely not there. But if these kids can enjoy high school and be competitive and have fun while they're here, that's the whole point of high school athletics.
Yes.
And I have said this for years, we don't put out a ton of D1 kids. In any sport. Now, Kayla would probably kick me for saying it, because obviously she said, I've got 10 cheerleaders that are D1.
Yeah.
But nobody else is sending out D1 kids. No. And the parents always say, well, my kid's D1. Probably not. You know, but that's just kind of where we live. I mean, it is what it is.
Well, and when you don't see that the type of athleticism that other players, like a D1 kid has, you don't really know or you don't really understand it.
Correct. So I know you got practice to get back to. Roger's holding down the fort, and Lindsay and Gracie, I'm sure, holding it down for you. But you got a scrimmage, you said, Saturday.
Yep.
Red, white next Thursday.
Yep.
And opening day on the 30th.
We open November 30th. Lafayette comes here. That'll be a huge test, probably. I don't know a whole lot about them, but they were pretty good last year.
Yeah.
Our schedule, Coach Jones made. You know how he likes the schedule, so he didn't do us any favors.
He likes the schedule where it's about 500, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I can tell you, if people come out and watch these kids, they're going to have a lot of fun. You know, you've heard the adage before, well, it's girls, blah, 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 blah. Well, we're trying to play like boys. That's been my goal when I started, and we've been really successful.
Yeah, but I think, too, I think, again, it is a different game, but people need to appreciate it.
Yes.
Like it is a different game. These girls need to be respected. They're working just as hard as the boys' team. It doesn't matter. I don't care who they are. they work just as hard. They need as much respect as any of the boys' teams. And that's a battle I know Coach Jones and I have fought for years, trying to get more equality back to these programs than what we need. And it just comes with community support and respect. I think it's just, I just don't think we have the ton of respect the girls' programs fully need.
Right. And I've come from an area, you know, I had a son and a daughter. So, and I see it, it, you know, and I'm not saying anything bad about boys or the boys' program.
No, I'm not either. It's
but
just
these girls, they work extremely hard. And I'm telling you, if you come and watch them play, you'll come back because this is going to be a different animal here. Now we may kick it all over the gym for a game or two, but come February,
and that's the go.
Yep,
it'd be bad early if you want to, but you got to peak late.
Yep,
and as long as you're learning,
yes.
Right, learning and progressing and continuing to get better, and obviously under the circumstances, if you enjoy sports, if you enjoy basketball, to me it's irrelevant if you're watching the boys or the girls.
Right.
Again, they're going out. It's the same game. Same concepts. You're just watching two different teams, you know, go at it in a sense, but definitely looking forward to it.
Well, and you, when you get up in the levels in basketball, a lot of times girls are more fundamentally sound than boys are.
Yep.
So I think people don't, like I said, I don't think people give them the respect that they need. They haven't for a long time. I don't think it's going to change overnight. We've got to change the culture in all over the state, all over the world, I guess. It's just got to get the culture a little bit better. But congratulations on the new position, Rob, and wish you the best of luck. And to these girls, I believe we're going to get her done.
Yeah, well, get back to practice if you're outside listening.
Yeah. Head on back in and get yourself warmed up. Rob's on his way back.
Yeah, keep shooting and working hard.
Thanks for having me.
All right,
thank you.
Take care. Back in a minute here on PCSN Live.
Ace Hardware, East College Avenue, Stanton, want to wish the best for your Powell County Pirates at their sporting events, in their academics, at home, or wherever life takes them. Next time you need an item for your lawn or garden, building needs, small or large project, plumbing, electrical, tools, including Craftsman, DeWalt, Husqvarna, and so much more. Remember your Ace Hardware, right here in Stanton, East College Avenue, Ace, the helpful place.
Pre-planning your funeral should be a natural part of life because it provides you with time to make end-of-life decisions in a calm and rational atmosphere. Start the online planning process now or meet with one of our pre-planning advisors here at Davis & Davis Funeral Home for your end-of-life celebration. We also offer tribute videos, memorial websites, and live funeral webcasting. Contact Davis & Davis Funeral Home to discuss the possibilities. Find us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com or visit us at 777 West College Avenue in Stanton.
And welcome back here to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. This is Dave Fowler along with Ken Simon, and we are, as Rob said, a couple weeks away from actually getting started. It'll be after Thanksgiving. Lafayette comes to town. That's the first varsity basketball game to be played after next week's Red White Night here at the high school. That's on Thursday. Again, there is also, I guess if they're having an old-timers night, is that a different night?
I don't know if that's the same night as Red White. If I had to guess, it would be the same night, but maybe
not. I'm not sure, but that is available. Just check out on the Powell County Athletics page. Again, it is cheerleaders, girls, boys, basketball. If you're interested, just check it out on the website. I'm sure I'd love anybody to come back out and help them out. Going forward, again, we've wrapped up football here now. Last week was our last week of football. Going forward, I believe it was Fleming versus Mason will be the matchup this week in this district. And Estill lost a big game down in Bell County, so I'm sure Bell County will have advanced. Not sure who they play. But again, football has wrapped up here on WSKV for the season. So obviously right around the corner is your next sport, which is girls and boys basketball here on WSKV.
Yeah, you know, even go back to football, just to kind of close that out in a sense. You know, the football team kind of up and down in a sense, never really got on solid ground, solid footing in a sense, as far as the way that their season was with the COVID and injuries and everything, really didn't quite come together like you would have liked. 12 seniors on the team. Again, our hats off to those guys that have put in the time and everything. They're definitely going to be missed, that's for sure. When you lose 12 players on a team that, you know, basically has 30 kids on it, That's a big chunk to actually lose under those circumstances. But nonetheless, we're exciting. You know, some great plays here and there. Just couldn't quite put it together. But they ended up losing to Mason County. Mason will face off against Fleming County. That will come up. That game is at Fleming County, between Mason and Fleming County, the two best teams in the football district at that point. And it's unfortunate that Powell kind of had it in the way that they did, in a sense. Of course, they made the playoffs, but still just didn't quite have the showing that they would have really liked to have had down the stretch, especially into the playoffs.
All right, got some dates for you. The Red-White Night is Tuesday the 16th. Is that correct?
I was thinking Thursday the 18th, but I could be wrong. I thought it was a Thursday.
Because alumni is the 18th, and I was, maybe I've got them backwards.
Maybe that's what it is then. Maybe Red White's Tuesday, and then the alumni is Thursday.
So Alan Martin just sent me this. Alumni is the 18th, so I am assuming the
Red White
night will be the 16th, which will be
Tuesday.
A Tuesday night. So, also got another text here from Keith Hall. Gave me some officiating stuff here. We will have a jump ball to begin the games this year. I kind of surprised that didn't stick with the, but again, we will have a jump ball to start the game back to regular. That'd be the only jump ball we have, unless you have overtime, I would assume. Will be to start the game would be a jump ball. Now back to that. So again, we were incorrect on our dates before. We announced it earlier that the 18th was the Red White Night. It's the 16th. The 18th will be alumni night. So that's where we had our mix up. So we apologize for that last week. I know we gave those dates out.
Yeah.
Next week, a busy week, Red White Night Tuesday, alumni on Thursday. So we'll kind of let you know by Monday whether we will cover the Red White Night or not on Tuesday night.
Yeah. And I even love the idea of going back to the jump ball.
You do?
Yeah, I do. I mean, to me, I wish they'd go back to the jump ball and tie up instead of alternate possession.
Well, let me ask you this question. Did you watch the UK game last night?
Some of it. I didn't
watch
all of it.
Did you watch the tip-off?
I did not.
That was
no.
The worst toss in the history of tosses.
I didn't see the beginning of
it. It was at least a foot or a foot and a half away from the center line on Duke's side. Now, it could have just been a bad toss. I mean, trust me, it's hard to just make that toss with two big guys getting ready to go. But that's the only thing I really hate. I've never seen awesome tosses anyway, but last night it was just horrible. Of course, these guys are only doing that once a game. They're out of practice as far as jump balls, but to me, if a toss could be that bad, you could almost always help out a team at the beginning or any jump ball. I don't want the officials affect the game as much as they can. I just think that's one more time they can't. So to me, if you do alternate possessions, I'm okay with that.
I agree, but sometimes I feel like on the alternate possession, sometimes, depending on the scenario, sometimes you make a great play and all of a sudden, oh, wait, the possession goes the opposite direction. And not that you don't get the ensuing possession back, but at that point, it's just like, I think those could be momentum changers. And to me, to be able to toss it up right then, a 50-50 ball, I prefer that.
If it's 50-50, I'm okay with, but a lot of times, and I'm not saying the officials are doing it on purpose. It just seems like you see a lot of bad tosses, and it's normally the side they're standing on. It seems it always goes inside, and not to say it's an imperfect science. It's just a toss. Keith also sent us a message that out-of-region games will be up to the opposing team,
whether they want to do the jump ball or not.
Yes. So, again, that is a 14th region issue. If it's inside the 14th, you'll have a jump ball. Outside the 14th will be up to the opponent. So,
going back to the UK game in a sense, obviously, the Big Blue Nation would definitely believe that the officials seemingly controlled parts and aspects of that game. Obviously, Duke shot a whole lot more free throws, etc. But to me, Duke shot lights out, Kentucky didn't, and Kentucky loses by 8 points, I think it was.
Made some really good runs.
Correct.
They were down 15,
down,
cut it back down to 4. I was impressed with that aspect of the game. I was really impressed with Oscar. I'm not going to try his last name. But he had about 20 rebounds. I don't know how many points he had, but he was an absolute beast on the boards. I mean, just absolutely dominated. And to me, going forward, if we can rebound, or if he can rebound that way and be that kind of a presence, Kentucky's going to be in a lot of basketball games this season.
I would agree. And at the same time, the way that Duke played, to me, they appeared to be a much better team than a ninth-ranked team. I can't wait to see some of the teams ranked ahead of them.
They
were hitting just about everything. They outplayed Kentucky in different aspects. But, again, the fact that Kentucky was down, they came back. They got down again. They came back, lost by the 8 points. This early in the season, you know, I get it, it's a loss. You know, I can't stand Duke any more than any other Kentucky fan. But at the same time, it's a learning curve. They'll learn from that. They'll get better going forward, and I'm okay with that. And to me, they weren't going to let Coach K lose in Madison Square Gardens anyway.
It's kind of like this, though. And just watching the game introspectively, if I wasn't a fan of either team, I would say Duke defensively outplayed Kentucky. I thought that's why Kentucky shot, but I think Duke played a better defensive game.
Agreed.
Than did Kentucky. But I would also say Kentucky played a pretty good defensive game. That being said, I just think Duke was just smothering with their defense. And I like some Duke. You know, the Ty Washington coming in as a freshman, the only starting freshman for Kentucky, and this is a different group, got a lot of transfers in on the transfer portal. I think three starters are transfer portal players, and then you got one freshman and one, junior. That started last night for Kentucky. So, you know, when you look at this, this is a lot of people, Kentucky's dream team. This is more experience. It's not all freshmen like it used to be. This is a lot of experienced players that were with other programs. It's going to take these guys about a month or so probably to just gel. I think the first month of the season is going to be gelling time for this team, and by the time they get to February and March, I think this team is going to be something to look out for.
I would agree. You know, again, you can always count on a Coach Cal team early in the season. They're going to take their hits. They're going to take their lumps. But ultimately, it's going to come down to they're going to be ready come tournament time, and that's all you can hope for. It's just like what Coach Marion ended up saying. He expects to win the district, but ultimately, you want to go beyond that. So therefore, does it really matter about the wins and losses? Well, Of course it does, but at the same time, as long as I'm getting better and my team is getting better, no matter if it's a 1 point loss or a 10 point loss, as long as we're improving and working towards our ultimate goal and we make the playoffs and we're able to compete at that point, then
I think sometimes coaches almost need to be explained to before they even start the job what is expected. Now, I understand the person when you get in the job, you want to win. I get that. But what is winning? Is winning a district championship number one? Winning a region championship, is that your number one goal? What are your goals? Obviously, with no regional tournament wins in the history of Powell County girls basketball, two in Powell County boys basketball, you're talking about not a long line of 14th region championships. So I think your first goal needs to be your district championship to set you up for a good run in postseason play in the region. I don't know what that answer is. I mean, I know Ken's goal was always to win the region, but he also wanted to win the district. You can't take a title away from you once you've won it. So I don't know what success is. I know Brian Hall was, if you look at the wins and losses, one of the most unsuccessful coaches in Powell County history. I love Brian. I'm not knocking Brian. But when you looked at his postseason record, he was one of the most successful coaches in the postseason. He won more district titles than almost anybody. So what is your measuring stick? So that's where you kind of look at these guys and say, look, we want a district title first and foremost, but we want to work toward a region. Or we just want to put our goal on the region, not worry about where we finish in the district. You've got to get to region, either a winner or as a runner-up. You've got to win at least one game. So I've always looked at it like in softball perspective here. Estill County beats us pretty much every year. But we're always in the regional tournament mix in softball, or at least till the last 3 or 4 years. So my goal is always try to win region. I don't mind if I lose in the district. I'm still going to be in the region. So are you willing to not win you get what I'm saying, not win a district to try to advance your standing, but obviously the easiest way to win a region is to win your district first. And you give it a draw. That's just kind of me. And sometimes it doesn't matter where you get. You can be the winning team and get the worst draw.
Well, I have no doubt in Kentucky's basketball past that Coach Cal could care less about the SEC tournament when he already had a locked up one or two seed. Therefore, guess what?
In the past.
Exactly. In the, yeah. In the past. Well, was it important to win? Well, according to him, no, because guess what? I have a bigger trophy that I want. This one it's nice to have, but that's not my goal.
Well, to me, I look at it this way. If you can't win that one, how hard is it to win the other one? Now, I agree. You can still win the other one. But, man, if you don't win the first one, how good are you? And I understand that that's in a very short period of time. SEC championship. You may have had a rough day the day before and have a bad shooting night, and you come back the next day and you don't play well. I get it's played so quick on the SEC championship. And I think that's what, when it comes down to like rankings at the end of the season, it's so important where you finish in the championship. But to Coach Cal, it usually hasn't mattered. He's going to be a top two or three seed. Of course, last year they'd even make the tournament. So this year I would say he would probably has changed his mindset on what that is, because he just needs to make the big dance.
Well, and Big Blue Nation is getting a little restless with Coach Cal. Again, there's nobody else out there I'd rather have that I think could be at the helm to lead Kentucky. At this point, though, people realizing that the talent that he has brought in over time, but what people need to realize as well, every year he's starting all over again, with the exception of this year. But had it not been for the transfer portal.
But he's still starting all over. He doesn't know these guys.
Well,
he hasn't worked
true.
With them.
Well, I just meant college experience. You know, at least at this point, he has a core group of players
that
are
experience.
Back. Exactly. Yes. That has that experience. Now it's just a matter of them gelling together, and we'll take it from there.
So what we should see, based on what we're saying, this should be a more successful run, because we always say if they were a little bit older, a little bit more mature, they probably go farther.
Correct. Right? Yes.
Storm for Coach Cal.
You're exactly right. That it is. And we've even talked about this as well, going back to the high school level, and let's just use the girls and boys here as the example. If you practice hard and you're out hustling someone, and I gave the example again, Jay Williams, Kobe Bryant, you know, right before a game, Kobe's practicing, out practices Jay Williams an additional 30 minutes, because Kobe Bryant you're not going to outwork Kobe Bryant. If our players had that same mentality, you're not going to outwork me, you're not going to out-hustle me, I'm going after that loose ball, I'm diving on the floor, I'm blocking you out, I'm taking the shots, I'm rebounding fast down the floor, etc. If you have that mindset that I'm going to keep getting better and you're not going to beat me, eventually you buy into that confidence. Collectively as a team, you do it, and then you find success within that.
So back to the old theory, what, hard work beats talent?
Yeah. But in some ways, it does.
No, I know. But sometimes an inferior player would have to work extremely hard to beat a really talented player on their best effort. It's just sometimes it's just really frustrating to see a kid that's so talented that won't work hard.
Correct. You're
that's
resting on your laurels, and in many respects, there's no laurels, because somebody's pumped it into your head that you're all that. But maybe, every game, you have to prove that you're all that, which is what Kobe Bryant
like
did.
Like I said, for example, and Alexa Lynch is a wonderful player at Owsley County, and she's going to be able to do what she wants to do. She's about 5'10", 5'11". She's a tall point guard. I like Makaira Caudill just because, you know, I was asked last year to give a scouting report on Lexi for some colleges, and my scouting report would be she is left side dominant. That player is not going to play well at a D1 level, because they're only one side dominant. If she doesn't improve with her right hand, it didn't really do her a lot of good to stay back. So to me, she needed to use this season to show that she has a right hand, to see what her development is for the next level. You know, Palkan has got a kid in Makaira Caudill who could be, if she wants to really work at it, a two-way player, because she got a right hand and left hand. She likes to almost go left hand just as much as she goes right. Doesn't matter to her. That kid's harder to play than it would be if you're Alexi Lynch. She's more predictable, but she's also awful strong. I know I compare it a lot to Kaylee Rogers. Awesome player, left side dominant. And she was hard for anybody to stop in the 14th region. But going forward, if you're trying for the next level, you got to be able to be all-around player.
And think about this, though, with Makaira. At whatever age she started, but she began to work with her right hand and her left hand just as much, and guess what? She's ambidextrous as far as dribbling that basketball, and I could go either direction. Far too many players don't discipline themselves, don't take the time to develop that skill set to go left and or right, in order to become that better player. She's done that, and obviously the success is following her because she's put in the time.
And for younger kids out there, make sure you use both hands. The coach is going to tell you to go left-hand layup, right-hand layup, dribble right-handed, dribble left. Please listen, because when you get later into your career, you're going to have to use that. If you're going to be a high school athlete, you have to have both hands to be an effective player at the high school level.
Yeah, because otherwise you're cheating yourself and or your team by not developing those skills, and it's no different than free throws.
Correct.
Right? No different than free throws. You can sit there and you can go and practice, and you can be like a days ago, and it's just a free throw, but guess what? But it's a free throw, and you're practicing it for a reason, for game day, and therefore when you're on that line.
If you practice like it's a routine, it becomes kind of mundane, but if you do the same thing every time, it gets to be muscle memory, and it doesn't matter where you are. If you're blindfolded, if you're not, you should be able to make a free throw. That's just how much you should be able to know with muscle memory where you're at. The crowd, the noise, the pressure, all that should be aside if you've got the routine down.
Agreed,
But that's just me and the way I think about it. But, again, these kids see a lot of pressure, but I wish, you know, both coaches have got new coaches this year. Alan Martin on the boys' side, Rob Marion. Both are new coaches as far as head coaches. Neither are new coaches for these kids. So everybody kind of knows what you're going to get. Wish them both the best of luck, and we'll see them, I guess, next Tuesday in red-white. And then the alumni game next Thursday, which we may bring you some broadcasts from red-white. We'll let you know by Monday. We won't do anything with the old-timers game.
Correct.
Or the alumni game.
And tentatively at this point, we have Coach Alan Martin lined up for next Wednesday. So be able to get in and talk to him and see how things are going for his team so far.
So for Ken Simon and myself, Dave Fauner will say good night. See you next week here on BCSN Live.
Thank you for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken right here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM. Streaming live at listenlikealocal.com or on your mobile device with the free WSKB app for Android and Apple users. Don't forget, tonight's program is available on our on-demand player at listenlikealocal.com. The Powell County Sports Network would like to thank their sponsors, Whitaker Bank, Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Powell County CSEP, Mercy Health, Appalachian Wireless, Citizens Guarantee Bank, Park Regional Medical Center, Hinkle Contracting, Davis & Davis Funeral Home, Toyota South, Ace Hardware & Feed, People's Exchange Bank, Teddy Flint, Attorney at Law, Whitaker Insurance Group, Protect Security and Fire Systems, and Apex Physical Therapy. Stream the game to any internet-connected mobile device, made possible in part by Apex Network Physical Therapy, located at 156 West College Avenue in Stanton.